I'm often known for saying, like, there's more incompetence in the field of marketing than there is in any other industry in the world.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Talking business ownership, the nuts and bolts, and everything in between.
Well, big statement there from today's guest at the Tradies Business Show. Welcome to another episode. Great to have you with me. Always awesome to get your comments and feedback. I've had a few emails and messages via Facebook in the last couple of weeks in relation to a couple of episodes that have come out. So it's been all good. No haters. I don't get too many haters. And according to today's guest, it means I'm not actually trying hard enough. So I think I need to try a little harder and get some hate mail from you guys and gals out there. But look, today's guest is talking to us about marketing. You might have picked that up from the intro. And this guy has built, well, one of, soon to probably be Australia's best, biggest, most successful marketing agency from his bedroom with zero on the scorecard, to over $10 million in revenue this year in just 4 years. Now, this guy has got some energy to bring to the table, and I could have sat and listened to Sabri Subi from King Kong. I could have listened to him talk about marketing all day. He's speaking my language, this man. He's talking metrics. He's talking about what not to do, what people get wrong, and he doesn't mind having a shot at his own industry, which takes cojones, but I think it shows his passion and his authenticity as well, that you know, he's willing to call out the people that aren't doing things very well in his own industry. So, fantastic episode. Stick around till the end, where we basically have a giveaway for you as a listener to the Tradies Business Show. So there's a link you can go to, and you can actually work out how to double your sales in your business through your marketing. But Sabri also answers the question of how on earth he came up with the name of King Kong for his marketing agency. So, all things marketing today. He's got some great advice for you and some things you can put into place straight away. So have a listen, and as always, hit me on Facebook because that's my chosen platform, not Snapchat. But hit me on Facebook, and love to know your feedback. Enjoy. Joining me today at the Tradies Business Show is a man who 4 years ago was working in his bedroom and now is looking at turning over $10 million. So this guy knows a thing or two about how to grow a business. He's not a tradie per se, but I do know he's got plenty of stuff that's going to be of value to you as a listener. So tune the ears into this one. Sabri, welcome to the show, mate.
Excellent. Thanks for having me aboard.
Mate, absolute pleasure. I happen to love a bit of marketing and sales. It's probably the area that keeps me the most excited about business. As I said in the intro there, mate, bedroom to 10 mil in 4 years, that's pretty impressive. Can you?
Yeah, look, it's been a wild ride.
I bet it has, mate. I bet your parents are happy.
They are.
Mate, tell us a bit about that journey. I mean, can you sort of turn the lights on for us as far as who you are, what you do, and how the heck you've grown so quickly?
Yeah, sure. Well, look, as you stated, I started, you know, King Kong from my bedroom, you know, just a little over 4 years ago, you know, with no money or business loans or venture capital and really no safety net. You know, I was kind of just a relatively young guy, had just gotten married, and pretty much kind of made the decision to really start up an agency business and go into this model, and kind of day one started cold calling. I had no more than kind of $50 and, you know, a computer that my girlfriend, now my wife, had bought me, and I just kind of loaded up my VoIP account and put on my headset and really just started kind of dialing and looking for new clients, and really did the hard yards of, you know, making 100 cold calls a day and getting hung up on and sweared at and all the usual suspects that kind of go into building a business when you don't have the liberty of having like a treasure trove of cash, so to speak, and just built the business, you know, off sweat equity, really. And, you know, from one client to 10 clients and have just grown it, you know, to the point where now we're fortunate to have like hundreds of clients in all different niches all around Australia, and don't need to do any of that kind of, you know, muddy work of being in the trenches and cold calling people anymore to get new clients.
I bet you're sad about that, mate.
Oh, I not a day goes by where I don't wish I had to get on the telephone to make a cold call.
So you're not one of these weirdos that loves cold calling?
Look, I don't love it. I know that it is the most incredible tool probably that you have at your disposal, because, you know, marketing and using marketing to kind of leverage your business and grow your business is the most powerful thing that you can do. But, you know, when you're just starting out and you don't have money, that there's just an avenue like cold calling where there is no excuses. Like, you can literally load up a VoIP account for unlimited calls for $4 a month, and you can just be calling to get new business. And I wouldn't have this business if I didn't do that. Do you know what I mean? And if I had to have money to go out there and run ads, then I certainly wouldn't be in this position that I am right now.
No. And, you know, someone like yourself, you probably would have got there eventually. You would have found a way, but it certainly speeds up the process at the front end of a business startup, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. And like, I always think that, you know, successful people are willing to do that all the things that unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. And the reality of it is that, you know, you can pretty much start a business in any line through cold calling. And the reality of it is that it takes very thick skin to do that. And the majority of people aren't willing to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a lot of the questions I'm going to ask you today, Sabri, you're going to have some pretty good answers to, I reckon, because you don't grow a $10 million agency without being able to answer questions like, what is different about King Kong?
Yeah, look, I think that really boils down to like the question that I always kind of is at the top of my mind, you know, and the problem that I've always had to try to solve for businesses that I've been in is, how do I get new clients? And I think that, you know, that's something that I really ponder on most than most people, I think, more than most people, is just looking at, you know, how do I get new clients? And then looking at that beyond just, you know, my business and my agency model, but looking at all the clients that I work with in over, you know, 126 different industries and niches, is solving that fundamental problem for businesses, which is, how do I get clients? And not only how do I get clients, but how do I get the best clients in the most efficient manner possible? And I guess this is not my first rodeo. I have run other businesses, and we've always needed to kind of, you know, I've always brought that customer acquisition and digital marketing to the mix, but there's always been points where, you know, I've had to look at hiring other agencies. And that's really where the whole thing came about of starting King Kong, is just speaking with a bunch of agencies that all had like a cookie cutter approach and wanted just to sell me an SEO plan and this is how many keywords you get and kind of away you go, and wouldn't really think about, you know, where are the best customers, how do I reach them, and, you know, they all had an agenda in terms of one type of service that they were selling. And that's how I kind of identified the market, in terms of seeing that there was no one out there from a digital marketing perspective that talked in terms of dollars and revenue and generating sales. They were all hiding behind these vanity metrics, as we call them, like how many clicks are you getting and impressions, and so many people are seeing this, and the social reach. So I think the fundamental thing is with King Kong is, you know, we are a return, you know, on investment driven agency. We're all about ROI. We're all about how many leads are we getting? How much does it cost to acquire a lead for our clients? How many leads do they need to get in order to generate a customer? And then on the back of that, really dialing in what those numbers looks like, and then being willing to kind of have some skin in the game and stick our neck out as the only agency in Australia that will actually guarantee results.
Jeez, mate, you're starting to sound like a business coach.
Yeah, well, look, in terms of what we definitely look at it, not just in a tactical level. We don't just get in the weeds and just think about, oh, you know, this is how much clicks you're getting. Like, you know, we know that, you know, the ultimate thing is that the majority of businesses that fail, and the bulk of those businesses fail, is because they're undercapitalized. And the reason that they're undercapitalized is because they don't have the ability to ring the cash register in high enough volumes with fat enough profit margins to sustain their business. So we don't just look at it as like, oh, we're just a digital marketing agency that's going to get you some traffic. Like, we want to be entrenched in your business and really understand the unit economics and understand what it's going to take for you to thrive and to get really good results. So we can work with you for many years to come. And that's, the kind of, you know, pivotal switch that we look at in a different aspect to kind of most other agencies.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's something that, you know, I've been business coaching and now tradie wingman for over 10 years. And it's infuriating, to be honest, that so many, and this is going to be dissing on marketing agencies. I don't mean to do that, but
Don't worry, I do it all the time.
Maybe I'll let you do that and I'll preserve my, I'll keep the haters to a minimum. But, you know, I go in and I see businesses that are spending good money on marketing strategies and marketing tactics that they don't know whether they're getting a return on that or not. And, you know, it's all based around, oh, well, it's good for our business, or it looks good, or, you know, we're getting heaps of engagement. And it's like, engagement doesn't mean crap if it's not, like you say, you know, get the cash register ringing. It's got to be turning into bookings and clients. Otherwise, what the heck are you doing it for?
100%. And that's just like, that's an issue that is just rampant. Do you know what I mean? I'm often known for saying, like, there's more incompetence in the field of marketing than there is in any other industry in the world. And that's because, like, especially with digital agencies or any marketing agencies, is that, like, you know, the barriers to entry in order to start up a business is really nothing. Like, you can do it, you know, in your pajamas from your bedroom. You know, I wasn't in my pajamas, but I did start.
I was going to say,
bedroom.
Mate, that's, you did exactly the same thing.
Exactly. I did. And the reality of it is, though, that, you know, I didn't go out there and try to teach people something that I didn't know how to do myself or had no experience in doing. And, you know, that's the reality of it is you certainly would not be able to build a $10 million business if you didn't know what you were doing.
No.
But it's just that there is this, the barriers to entries are so low is that you get people that have read a blog post, you know, about SEO and all of a sudden think that they know how to do SEO or Facebook ads or whatever it might be. And then they're kind of, you know, in business and they're convincing people to do business with them. And they have no idea on actually how to deliver on the promises that they're making. And that's something that's rampant in a lot of industries, but it's also definitely there and very, very clear in the digital marketing space.
So tell us a bit about your background before that defining bedroom business starting moment, Sabri. It's,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned you've had other businesses. Obviously, you've come at this with a perspective and some experience. So tell us a bit more about that, mate.
Sure. Well, look, I got my start when I was 17. I had my first kind of full-time job. It was a sales job. And, you know, I sucked. I was absolutely horrible at sales in the beginning. And it was like typical movie, like the office was in a shipping container and there was 15 people in a shipping container with no air conditioning in Byron Bay where I grew up. And we were basically calling on 300 businesses a day and basically buying back their empty ink cartridges and selling them ink cartridges and all types of crazy stuff. I did that. I sucked really bad for the first kind of 2 months and then kind of had like, you know, a breakthrough or that pivotal moment where I kind of started to approach it like a game. And really, from there, I went over to London and I've been in sales. I did sales for a very, very long time. I've sold everything door to door, face to face, over the telephone, in person, one to one and one to many. And I've sold everything that you can probably ever think about. And from that, I kind of come back to Australia, went to university, was working for a company part-time that was selling Google AdWords and thought, look, I can do a better job than this. So I started up a digital agency, you know, from my bedroom over a summer break when I was about 22 years old, grew that up to a substantial team, a couple of million dollars in revenue, had the opportunity to sell that business, which I did to my business partner. And then from there, I did a few different kind of startups and businesses. I did a joint venture with the AFL, with three of the AFL football clubs on a group buying website. I've run e-commerce businesses. I've run businesses into the ground. I've had successful exit. I've kind of done a lot of, you know, different things. And the thing that always kind of that I was tasked with in all of those businesses, which was that fundamental question of how do I get new customers? And it had been a while and my non-compete was kind of expired in the digital space. And I still looked at the market and just thought, look, there's no one still grabbing this industry, you know, by the balls and just really, you know, practicing what they preach, generating revenue and helping businesses grow their top line. And that's when I kind of made the decision, you know, to go at it.
Yeah, nice, mate. So why you, Sabri? You know, I talk to businesses about sales and I mean, sales and marketing to me are two different things. They're very closely related, obviously. But, you know, often we build into sales processes and scripts that, that whole, you know, why us, why now? And I guess for you, it's like you've gone down this path, but, you know, why you? What drives you, mate?
Well, in terms of like, you know, why are we the agency to go with, or what is the fundamental thing that kind of drives me as a person?
A bit of both, actually.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, in terms of, you know, with anything, right? Like, you want to always look, is that doctor taking their own medicine? You know, is this person doing what they said that I should do for their own business? You know, is you're going to see a personal trainer? Is this personal trainer are they in phenomenal shape, right? And if they're not, the chances are that you probably don't want to go with them, right? And it's the same in any line of work, and it's the same in digital. Like, there's a lot of digital agencies out there that aren't marketing themselves using digital channels, and that's because they just can't get the numbers to stack up in their own industry. So, you know, the whole thing with us is that, you know, if you look at a lot of the, you know, clients that we work with, and the general theme is that these guys practice what they preach. Like, I became a client with them because they were doing the exact same things that they're telling me that I should be doing for my business. And I think that that's like a big telltale sign of, is this person an expert? Like, one of the things that I do in my own life before I read a book about somebody or an autobiography is I want to actually do some background check on that person and find out, are they the real deal, or are they just another guru? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, is this person actually doing what they say that they would do? And if they're not, I don't even invest the time and energy with it. So that kind of, you know, to address that question, that's kind of, I think, if you look at King Kong, if you have a look at what we're doing and what we've been able to achieve in a relatively short amount of time, and how we go about marketing our own business, is really a testament that we kind of know what we're doing. We're not just out here talking about doing this stuff. We do it every single day in our own business, and have done so to grow it to the point where we're at right now.
Yeah.
In terms of, I guess, you know, what drives me as a person, the thing that always fundamentally, you know, drives me when you're in business, and, you know, typically revenue and sales is like the scoreboard of kind of how you measure yourself and how well you're doing. And, you know, anyone that's in business and is kind of that elusive first $1 million is everyone kind of holds that $1 million up on like a pedestal. It's like, if I could only get to $1 million in revenue. And what you find out is that, like, once you get there, it's like the horizon. Do you know what I mean? Like, your eyes are set on that new vantage point, and you never kind of really stop. Why not? I'm guilty of it. Really stop and just kind of appreciate that milestone that you've hit. So kind of, I guess, you know, revenue is definitely there as a driver, as kind of, you know, a KPI of how I'm going and how my business is performing. But ultimately, the thing that gets me fired up every morning is kind of having a look at the thing that I do is I'm very strict with myself and take an audit on myself is like, are you living up to your potential, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know, you can feel good about yourself. Oh, I've done this, I've achieved this. But the question that I always come back to is, yeah, but what are you capable of? Like, are you capable of doing more? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I always imagine this hypothetical situation of like, if I was to meet myself, you know, what would I think of that person? Do you know what I mean? And are they capable of achieving more? And that's the thing that I really focus on. You know, I'm very clear of like what I want to achieve and what I want to get out of my life and the type of life that I want to build for myself and my family. And it's just every day, whether it's a win or a loss, is kind of, you know, focusing on moving the ball further up the field and really focusing on like, what is your potential? Like, if this is the one life that you get, are you living up to that?
Yeah, mate, that's awesome. And I'm guessing by this photo of this beautiful man I can see on Skype in front of me, mate, that
that must be myself.
You're not that old, Sabri. Like, how many years you got under the belt, mate?
Well, look, I've been in the industry, as I said. I've been selling since I was 17. I'm 32 years of age now. Jeez, and really kind of got into the whole, you know, entrepreneurial journey when I was around 21 years of age.
That's awesome, mate. That's awesome. And, you know, I'm sure my listeners can hear the energy in your voice and you know, the way you talk about what you're doing. So, well done, mate. And look, just on that, I think just doing a bit of background checking myself, you've won, you've probably won more than one award, mate, but you've picked up a couple of accolades in recent times.
Yeah, look, we have. We're fortunate enough to be named the 35th fastest growing company in the country by the Australian Financial Review last year, and making that the fastest growing digital marketing agency. And we've won numerous awards kind of along the way in terms of like the coolest places to work and things like that. And really, I guess the way that I look at it is those revenue numbers and the fastest growing companies and all of those kind of things is. I'm of a firm belief that, the amount of kind of, goodwill that you have in the marketplace and how much you're serving, your audience is in direct correlation with kind of how much revenue that you've got. So I look at it really kind of, as value delivery more so than just numbers, in Xero and accounting softwares and things like that. While it's all good hitting those numbers, for me, that's just a testament to like, we're providing a lot of value to our marketplace and we're impacting a lot of lives. In the way that we've been able to build such a big business.
Yeah, it's interesting. And mate, I want to ask you a question. This is a bit off the wall. I didn't sort of plan to ask this, but you're a reasonably young bloke. You've had this meteoric rise in King Kong. You're obviously knocking it out of the park at the moment. How do you find the mythical Australian culture of the old tall poppy? You've won some awards. Like, are you the target of some haters?
Oh, without a doubt. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have haters, that means you're playing too small. Do you know what I mean? Like, if there isn't people like coming out of the woodworks and saying bad things about you, that means that you're either playing it too safe or you're not thinking big enough. And yeah, look, the tall poppy syndrome definitely is alive and strong. There's more people online drinking haterade than anything else these days.
Like that.
And the reality of it is, right, that like, the haters are always going to be a lot. More vocal than your fans a lot of the time. And like, I think the ultimate thing is that whenever you see somebody that's made a negative comment on social media or whatever it might be, is just thinking that there's something fundamentally wrong with that person in terms of their own well-being and their happiness for them to kind of be such a troll or to be such a hater. And I think that, it kind of comes back to you are the average of the five people that you hang around with the most. And that's something that I keep a very close circle. I'm a new father. I've got a beautiful wife, and I kind of keep that circle of people that I deal with, quite small knit and close because I'm very, very, aware that the people that I hang around with on a day-to-day basis, really impact me and the averages of my life and where I want to go. And if you're around people that, always trying to shoot you down, or if you're always online reading about, trolls and haters, it kind of takes you away from the prize and takes your focus off where it should be. And you start to go into like a retreat mode rather than an expansion mode.
So, mate, I don't mean to labour this point, but how do you deal with the haters? Because I have come across, again, a lot of businesses over the years that get, simple things like negative reviews or someone who must be having a really bad day or perhaps a really bad life as a customer that goes out of their way to say bad stuff about a business. What's your take on how to deal with that stuff, mate?
Yeah, look, I think that, in reality, the first thing that you want to do is if you're in business, you're going to have to know that there's going to be a bunch of people leaving negative, reviews about your business. Like, we've got people that have left negative reviews about my business that have never even been a customer, and they've just gone
Seriously.
online. And we see it even with our clients' businesses, and we've got clients that are multi-billion dollar businesses. And the thing that I've kind of looked at is like, it's always the businesses that are obviously having the biggest impact and doing the most amount of revenue that have the most haters, because they're the ones that are getting the most attention, right? So I think that the first way to look at it is to understand that even if you do a phenomenal job, there's going to be competitive that go in and play dirty and leave negative reviews about you. There's going to be people that don't like your marketing and leave negative reviews about you. And there's that element to it where you will never have a clean record on that front because there's just people that you can't control, right? And then there's people that are clients that, may have had a negative experience. And really what you need to look at that, I think, is one in how can you remedy the problem and making sure that you've done everything to, make it right by that client. And if still then there's nothing that they're happy with and they still, want to leave that review online, then you kind of just have to take it as it will and just know that that's going to be a part of it. But I think from a business standpoint, you always want to look at how can you remedy it? How much is it going to cost you to remedy it? And how much is that negatively going to impact your business? And is it worth kind of coming to some kind of agreement where, you know, you can come to kind of an amicable solution and that's not going to be up there kind of tarnishing your brand, so to speak. So I think that one of the things that you can do to combat that is to really make sure that you're using your great customer stories and evangelizing those customers and making them really front and center of your business and showing a whole bunch of different types of clients that you've done different types of work for. So it's not just one type of business or client and really using that to kind of showcase to people that, you know, you do incredible work. But yeah, like in these kind of companies in these kind of countries where you can't really fully control and, you know, we're not running dictatorships where you can just get that stuff deleted or anything like that, is just you need to be aware of that and you need to bring it home with, like, you know, if you've got people hating on you, that means that you're doing the right thing because you're getting lots of attention. And if you've got lots of clients, don't let the trivial few kind of overexcite your judgment from all the great work that you're doing with the majority of all your clients.
Yeah. It's I guess what I'm hearing, mate, is focus on the good, really wind up the volume on that. And that has the capability of drowning out the minority noise.
Yeah, because you can't like, you know that if you're in business, that's going to be a reality. Like, that you're definitely going to do that. You're definitely going to get some clients. You cannot please anybody, right? I often say that if you go to the best restaurant in the world, you know, it's a kind of Michelin star restaurant, you walk in there, the food is incredible, there's still going to be people that hate it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So the reality of it is, if you're providing a trade service, you know, that's less glamorous than the best restaurant in the world, then the reality of it is it's still going to get people that just hate the service or hate the product or hate something about it. Do you know what I mean? And there's just always going to be those percentage of people that you can't please. And you need to be aware of that and not let it kind of detract you from the great work that you're doing.
Yeah, great advice, mate. So obviously you're all about getting more clients rather than more clicks for customers. What are some of the, I guess I'm interested to know what you think some of the big fails are that you see out there in the marketplace, particularly with trade businesses. You know, we're talking to tradies here at the Tradies Business Show. Yep. What are some of the epic fails that you see?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I definitely see is, like, with trades businesses, that, again, it's one of those businesses where the barriers to entry is very, very low and the waters are bloody with competition, right?
Yep.
The markets are drenched with blood in those industries. Like plumbers, it's like, you know, you're paying up to $26 a click for things like Plumbers Melbourne or Plumbers Sydney, which is just ridiculous. And it's like that across most of the trades these days, right? Because you get a lot of people that enter into those markets. It's kind of unsophisticated marketing where everybody's basically screaming, come and deal with me, I've got the best prices. Right. Yeah. And it's kind of that race to the bottom where everyone's competing on price. And that's the biggest telltale sign that I see, and the biggest flaw that I see in trades marketing is people really just going, like, straight to, you've got the biggest range and the best prices, or we've got the best service and the best prices, and kind of just all racing to the bottom from their Google AdWords down to their websites. It's all just heavily price driven. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, I think that, yeah, look, there's a lot of trades businesses that aren't glamorous. Like, if you're, you know, blocked drains and you guys are unplugging toilets and stuff like that, there's not a whole lot of education and value that you can provide to that marketplace, you know, on the surface level, other than offering the best price. But, you know, one thing that you need to know is that, like, people are 10 times more motivated to come to you to learn something than they are to buy something. And even though somebody that's looking for a trade is typically someone that we call is a client with a bleeding neck, right? They've got an urgent problem that they need a solution for immediately. That's obviously, you know, that's generally around 1% to 3% of your market has kind of got that urgent problem. But then there's a whole bunch of the rest of the market, the other 90%. 97% of your marketplace that isn't just like they don't have that immediate need that they need an immediate solution for, and they maybe just be doing research. But then I see tradespeople treating everyone like that 3%. Yeah, we've got the best range you can book in now, got the best range. So I think that the way that I was looking at is like we always look to provide a lot more education and use value-based marketing to educate our buyers and make sure that we are getting the best buyers in that market. So it's just simple things by, you know, creating a free report with like, you know, the 11 things no plumber would dare tell you, or like just things around the markets that you can provide a bit of value to. Because if you're providing value and you know that the majority of your market isn't looking to buy right now, but you're the one that are kind of providing that value, educating them along the way, when they are ready, who do you think that they're going to choose? Do you know what I mean? Are they going to choose the guy on Google who they know nothing about? Or are they going to choose Larry, who's been dropping them with all this valuable knowledge about, you know, getting the plumbing right in their new home build? Like the answer is obvious. Do you know what I mean? So I think moving away more so from just that cheap race to the bottom where no one wins that race to more of kind of what are some value add that you've got in terms of providing value to that marketplace.
It's a hard road though, isn't it, Sabri?
Yeah, look, it is. It's definitely a hard road, but anything that is worth doing is going to be hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, it comes back to, you know, being willing to do all the things that unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. Do you know what I mean? So while it is a lot of work to kind of get it right in the beginning, the rewards are there. Do you know what I mean? So if you're a tradie and you're listening to this right now and you may be new to the game, you might be doing business for a while, the thing that I ask you to do is really just to take an audit of your business, of your website, at your offering, and have a look at how does that compare with all the noise that is out there. We've never lived in a more noisy society than there is right now in terms of marketing messages. And if you can't basically put your website down and have, you know, 5 or 10 other competitors that are on page one of Google right next to it, and you can't look at your business and clearly say, that is my point of difference, then how do you expect your prospects and your customers to do that? So like, that's just something that you must do. You mustn't just approach it the same way that everybody else has and expect for some incredible different result.
Yeah. So Sabri, what's your philosophy on, you know, social media is part of life these days. And look, for anyone who's not, and I don't suggest, you know, being on social media, because that's very different to utilizing social media in my books. So I think that's a given, you know, you have to have some sort of strategy. Is there a right platform? Is there too many platforms or channels to use? I mean, do you have some tips? Because I hear from lots of trade business owners where I think they get a bit overwhelmed by, well, should I be on LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook or all of them? Or how do I do that? And how do I work all that together?
Yeah, sure. And look, I think that, like, you know, when if you have a look at, like, you know, what's going on in society today is, and especially with business owners, is the thing that I see business owners doing is trying to do like 1,000 things and just getting completely overwhelmed. And what they end up doing is, you know, they're on the hamster wheel and they're running faster for kind of less money and less cheese at the end of the day. And that's because they're just trying to do so many things. And if you're trying to constantly chase like what is the next flavor of the month social media platform or marketing trend, that's a fool's errand. Do you know what I mean? You're never going to get anywhere if you do that. I think the fundamental thing to look at is like, where are my customers and what is going to be the best utilization of my time, right? We all have the same 24 hours a day, and I think what makes the successful people really successful is for what not that they choose to focus on, but what they choose to ignore. And if I was a trader, I'm going to be simple. Are my customers on Snapchat? The reality is no, right? You know, is somebody, you know, on LinkedIn that's looking for a specific trade? Look, they may be. Is it more of a kind of, you know, business services market and recruiters and stuff? Probably yes, right? Who is my market? My market is the everyday person. Where is the everyday person? They are on Facebook. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I think when it comes to traffic, the two grown-ups in the room right now is really Facebook and Google. They're the ones that really have the lion's share and running like a duopoly on traffic right now. And, you know, it depends on every single business. The fundamental thing that I want to look at is, where are my customers, right? Where are their eyeballs? And I want to get in front of those. And so, you'd be much better off doing one platform and doing it well and giving it the time and justice to get your head around it and start utilizing it for your business than you are to be on Instagram and Snapchat and LinkedIn and all these different platforms trying to do everything. Do you know what I mean? That's everybody obviously always kind of has that novel thing of what is shiny, what is new. This is the silver bullet, right? I'm just going to get on Snapchat and customers are just going to start falling from the sky on this new Snapchat channel. That's just the delivery vehicle, right? Like we say at King Kong, like we're a channel agnostic agency, which means that we don't care what the channel is, right? I understand that these channels are going to change over the years. The number one thing that you really want to become a master at is knowing your marketplace, knowing what are their hopes and dreams, their pains and fears, and really understanding them better than any of your competitors, and then creating what we call a Godfather offer, which is an offer so good they can't refuse, and then utilizing all of these channels and social media and all these different traffic channels as the delivery vehicle just to get that messaging in front of those prospects.
Sounds really simple, mate.
Look, it is. People try to make it very, very complicated and they get worked up in a frenzy and they try to do so many things and it really just takes their eyes off the prize when you can just dial it back and get really, really simple and do very, very well.
So, mate, your journey, has it been pretty smooth or have there been a few bumps in the road?
Look, there is always bumps in the road, you know what I mean? Like there has been many, and certainly like when I was starting the business and I was working, you know, from my bedroom and I was, you know, selling by day and doing the work by night, you know, pulling 18-hour days, and then kind of got it to the point where, you know, I got my first office, and then after getting, you know, my first office, kind of, you know, getting the first team members and then building them up. And I guess, you know, I always say that it's really difficult to kind of get to those first 10 team members because, you know, once I've had, you know, my first three kind of team members didn't work out and then they left, and then you're kind of back to square one, right? And it takes a lot of firepower to kind of keep that engine going and not to get really disheartened when, you know, someone's come on board, they've been with you for a couple of months, you've trained them up, and then they leave and you're like, oh, I have to do all of that again. And there was many instances like that throughout my business where I've had to do that and then get back in the trenches and start actually carrying out the work again. And that's just a part of it. Do you know what I mean? There's always going to be those ups and downs. You know, success isn't all the stuff that you see on Instagram or magazine covers or all these stuff. They always show you the end result, but they don't show you the amount of work and all the setbacks that went into achieving that outcome. And that's the thing that, you know, it's really important to know that you're going to have those setbacks and you're going to have to get up and go at it again. And that's where you really want to have the whole reason of why you're doing this. You know, I have a saying, have your why so big that your hows become easy. Do you know, if your why is so big of why you're doing this, if you want to look after your wife, or if you want to look after your husband, or you want to help your mother or your father out, or whatever it is, you know, having those whys really crystallized. So when you have those setbacks in your business and in your life, it's kind of like, you know, you take a moment, you digress a bit, and then you get your mind right and you look back at why you're doing this and where you're going, and knowing that it's going to be a journey, but you'll get there.
Yeah, mate, you've pretty much just packaged up the whole formula for success in business, Sabri.
I'd be surprised if I could do that in a sentence, but yeah.
And look, it's, you know, you mentioned hard work in there. I have lots of people who are, I guess, seeking the solution, you know, the simple solution. It's like, well, what's the one piece of advice, or what's the one strategy, or, you know, tell me how to do it. What's the easy way? And when will this get better and easier? And it's like, often my answer is, you know what? Never. Like, there's always going to be hard work to do. And anyone who tells you that you can achieve success in anything, whether that's with your health or your relationship or anything, without actually doing some work, I think they're probably selling snake oil, to be honest.
Yeah, they're either delusional or they're trying to sell you their solution for how you can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not to say that, I mean, you know, you're selling services and I sell my services as a tradie wingman. So I think there's people who have figured out how to avoid the swamp a little bit more. But it's not to say that you never slip off the path and end up in the weeds, like you said before.
Yeah. And look, I think that's like, you know, for the people that are always looking for that, you know, that silver bullet, or they're kind of jumping from, you know, a book or a training from one thing to the next, always looking for that easy solution, is, you know, just really knowing, like if someone said, like, what's that X factor, right? Like, what's that thing that determines, you know, if you're going to be successful or not? I think that, you know, there's always a lot of luck involved and timing and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But if you boil it down and you kind of pull it back and look at, like, what is, you can't control the luck, right? You can't do anything to really influence that so much other than be prepared for it when it arrives at you. Yeah. But I think the one thing that you can control is like your work ethic and how much you work. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to kind of be raised by a single parent mother and really just see her work 3 jobs, come back from work, still cook me and my sister a beautiful, healthy meal, and just never complaining and having just an unbelievable work ethic has really ingrained that level of work ethic in myself. And that's the only thing that you can really control at the end of the day. You know, if you're willing to outwork any one of your competitors, the reality of it is that you will be more successful than them, right? So, you know, we're living in a day and age where it's so much instant gratification and kind of like, oh, I post my stuff on social media, I get a bunch of likes, a bunch of followers, and it's just that instant thing. And like, we're kind of being trained to like expect that in all areas of our life, because, you know, the stuff that we engage with on a day to day gives you that like that shot of dopamine and gives you that instant gratification. We're just knowing that like nothing great, nothing that, you know, really is a really remarkable achievement has happened overnight. It all comes from a lot of sweat, blood, sweat and tears, and a lot of work that goes into it. So don't kind of, you know, be deceived by that, and know that that is the number one thing that you can control. If you can control how much you work and what your work ethic is, you know, then, you know, if you keep at it and you do it enough focused effort and you keep iterating over time, that is the X factor for how successful that you're going to be.
Wise words, mate. Wise words. So on the topic of wise words, a couple more questions for you, Sabri, and I know you're a busy man, so I won't keep you too much longer. Mate, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, tradie business owners, what would be one piece of advice, or I'll let you have 2 as a bonus, because I reckon you've got more than 2 as well. But what would you want to, I guess, you know, in that wrap up of a conversation, it's like, if you do 1 or 2 things in your business, do this, or with your marketing or whatever it is, what's your sage words of advice?
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, the first thing that, you know, I would stress for all of them to do is to basically sit down, if they're not a numbers person, to sit down with their accountant and have a look over their books and have a look at, on average, how much is the lifetime value of a client worth to their business? What is their LTV, right? Their lifetime value of a client. And really get clear on what that is. Like, you know, most businesses just don't know that straight out the gate, right? They just don't know how much a client is worth. You ask them and they say that varies, right? I got some tiny clients and then some big jobs. I understand that it varies. Go and have a look at how much revenue you've done in the last 12 months and divide that by the number of clients that you serviced, right? And have a look. That's just an easy ballpark way to kind of get and arrive at that number and understand what that number is. Then once you understand what that number is, then have a look at it and start to think of how much would you be willing to spend in order to acquire that customer. If you know that client is worth $2,000 to you and, you know, you make $800 in profit margin off that $2,000, what would you be willing to spend in order to acquire that? And, you know, don't say $5 or $10. Literally think about it. If someone said, I've got 30 of these clients, and they're the exact kind of client that you like working with, and I know that you make $800 in profit of each client, and I want $300, would you do that? And the answer is typically yes. So once you've kind of got those 2 numbers dialed in, you know, okay, this is how much I make, this is how much it costs to acquire me a client, you want to look at every single piece of marketing that you do for your trades business as falling into those things. Okay, how much am I spending on this and how many clients am I getting as a result of this? And knowing that, like, you know, when you're ahead or when you're behind, and cutting out your losses and then moving that money into something that's obviously going to get you a return. So that's kind of the non-sexy, like, unit economics of it. Then the other flip side to that coin is once you kind of got those dialed in, then what you want to do is really take an audit of your market, like I spoke about earlier, is having a look at what all your competitors are doing, what are they offering, you know, what is their kind of hook, how are they getting people involved, are they all just screaming price, get a free measure and quote, what's their whole angle, and then really going out and providing some education and some value to that marketplace before ever asking for anything in return. And you'll find that, you know, your share of voice will go up just exponentially because everybody else is out there screaming, hey, we've got the best service and the best prices and we're the cheapest and come and speak to me right now. And you're out there, you know, educating people about, you know, the things to look out for and, you know, the five pieces of information that you absolutely must know before speaking, you know, to a plumber or speaking to a plasterer or whoever it might be, right? And having that education in there. And I think that if you get those two things modeled and dialed in, you will be ahead of 99% of all businesses.
It's just so very simple, mate. And you're absolutely speaking my language. It's music to my ears to hear all this stuff about metrics. And look, I have an accounting and financial planning background originally. And so same stuff. It's like, well, how much did you make out of that? And what's your margin? And it's the same with marketing. You know, it's all about numbers.
It certainly is. And the thing is that, like, you know, he who can afford to acquire a customer and pay the most amount of money to acquire a customer is the person that wins.
Yeah.
In every single situation that there is in business, right? The person who can afford to spend the most to acquire a customer is the one that wins. And with that said, is that what you find is with most people is that they're focused 80% of their time on how they can spend less money on marketing or how they can acquire customers for a cheaper rate, right? When that's the wrong way to look at it. You should be spending 80% of your time looking at how can you provide even more value to your clients and basically increase the lifetime value of a client rather than your focus being on how can you, you know, reduce your cost to acquire that client. Because if you're providing more value to that client and if you're able to charge more than any of your competitors, you are then able to spend more money to acquire that customer and you win. That's it. Game over.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be looking for ways to invest more in marketing rather than less.
Oh, without a doubt. There is no other medium on planet Earth that gives you the returns that paid marketing does. Like, you know, we were just looking at the numbers and having a look at, like, what is the average, you know, rate of return on, like, a term deposited account for a business. You're trading, you've got a bunch of money sitting in a bank account, right? You know, these guys, you know, are willing to pay you 1-3% if you're lucky, right? And then you have a look at real estate. Real estate on average is around 11% return on investment. You know, where, you know, what we see, you know, in our business and working with all our clients' businesses is that, like, you know, you're able to get, you know, in some instances, a 600% return or a, you know, 1,000% return on your money from paid advertising. If your, you know, business is one of the most incredible platforms and vehicles for building wealth for yourself. And the reality of it is that, you know, doing paid advertising is, you know, really the fuel to that fire. It's the oxygen of the business that really gets sales cranked out and can provide just the most incredible returns for that business owner or that entrepreneur. And I just see it way too often that business owners kind of wear it as a badge of honor that they don't advertise. Like, I don't need to advertise.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, in all reality, it's like, you know, my simple and rude answer to that is, well, you're stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like, while you may be getting referral clients right now, you are missing out on all this other revenue purely because you're looking at advertising as a cost to your business and not an investment, and there's no other investment that you could make that would give you the same returns.
No, and I've had him on the podcast a couple times now, a buddy of mine over in the States, Nick May from Walls by Design, and now called the Business Brush podcast as well that he's running.
Okay.
But he's a painting contractor, and he's getting, well, the first time I spoke to him, I think it was a 12 times return on investment from Facebook marketing. And
phenomenal.
And now that's like 15 to 20 times. And it's just, it's an absolute no-brainer for him. And it's not actually difficult. You know, he's just posting little videos of, you know, kitchens that he's repainted and then boosting it and getting inquiries from that. and growing his following base and just continuing to provide information and tips and all
exactly.
that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's definitely doable. And he's just a little painting contractor in Denver.
Yeah, not sexy, not a sexy industry, right? And he's gone in there and he's just providing value to that place and making something that's boring, you know, value-based and a bit entertaining. And, you know, he's reaping the rewards of doing so.
Absolutely. So, Sabri, what is next for King Kong, mate? It sounds like you've already, you know, you've stormed the city and stolen the dame and made off with the awards and the money. But what's next, mate?
Yeah, look, in terms of, you know, I'm definitely not resting on my laurels. My intention is to certainly build the biggest and the best digital marketing agency in Australia, you know, inside the next kind of 18 months. So I've got my eyes on that, and I've got a couple of other projects that I'm working on the side as well. But for me, it's really about, you know, building King Kong into literally just the best agency that there possibly is and really kind of focusing on how do we provide as much value to our clients as possible. And I think it's that long-term perspective on things where you just we constantly focus on how can we provide the best results and the best value for our clients that will ultimately end up winning the game.
Sounds awesome, mate. Sounds like fun. Now we've talked about giving value, and I couldn't close out an episode with you, mate, without offering something of value to the listeners. So I believe you've got some valuable information to share.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, for anyone, you know, that's listening to this and saying, like, this all sounds great, but, like, where do I start with my business? My business is different. It's unique. You know, this kind of stuff that Sabri's talking about, you know, it won't work on my business is typically how most people think. And the reality of it is that all our most successful clients thought that as well before they signed up as us as a client. But what, you know, for you, you're starting out, you're looking for that next step, you're looking for a bit of information, you know, I'd suggest that you go to our website, which is kingkong.com.au, and we've got a free report right there on our homepage, which is 5 ways to double your sales. And just go ahead and download that and basically have a look at the kind of value that we're trying to provide to people. You'll have 5 actionable strategies that you can use right there to really move the needle on your business this year. And just basically all I suggest that you do is go ahead and download that and not only read that information, but then go about and actually implement some of those things and take action and kind of move one step towards where you ultimately want to be going.
Awesome, mate. Well, look, Sabri, thanks for coming on the show, mate. I could have asked you 1,000 more questions and just listened to you talk about marketing for hours because it is, it's been, you know, mystified a bit, I think, by the industry, unfortunately. And a lot of people just get confused and think it's all too hard and then they do nothing. So, mate, well done. Well done on your results as well. And one last thing, mate, how on earth did you come up with the name King Kong?
Well, look, I've always kind of used and looked at like business as the analogy of like, you know, business is a jungle and only the strongest survive. And like, I thought the name King Kong was pretty cool as being like the apex predator in that space. But also it's a point of also taking an audit and really looking around Warwick and having a look at the industry and seeing like, you know, what is everybody doing? Like, are the internet marketing experts and top Google rankings and this and then that. It's just all these kind of names that really, like, you know, don't really mean anything. There's no brand attached to it. And was really wanted to kind of go out there and just build a brand and carve out and really own the industry and build something that's memorable. You will never forget that the name of the company that deals with your digital marketing is called King Kong. I can tell you that.
That's awesome, mate. Well, look, thanks again, Sabri. I appreciate your time, mate. And it's been awesome to connect with you. And yeah, listeners, go check out that free download and start marketing properly, for goodness sakes.
Terrific. Well, thanks for having me on, Warwick. It was great talking to you as well. And yeah, guys, go out there, you know, start marketing and start really, you know, knowing what those levers to pull down on your business and watch it grow.
Awesome. Thanks, Sabri.
Thank you.
There you go. Hope you got some value out of that. I'd be surprised if you didn't. And I definitely think that stuff about measuring where your leads are coming from and your acquisition cost and everything and lifetime value, critical, critical stuff if you're doing any marketing in your business. So to find out more about how to double your revenue, those 5 levers that Sabri talked about, head over to tradiesbusinessshow.com/KingKong and you'll find the links there
in the show notes to grab his free download. I'll also pop it up on Facebook, so you should be able to find that pretty easily. But tradiesbusinessshow.com/King Kong. Go grab the free guide, find out what you need to do to your marketing to double your sales and build a fantastic trade business. All right, that's it from me for this episode. Until next one, hooroo.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.